Well, the graduates are going to have to listen to one more graduation speech. This might be a little different than what you might have heard at your graduation. I remember I went to a graduation ceremony one time, Wes Hardy. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the guy that gave a speech, the keynote speaker, I had to hold Chris back.
No comment.
Telling him he wasn't right because he was talking about worldly things. Remember that, Chris? It's like you and I are like, ah. Anyway, so this is going to be different. A baccalaureate service or whatever you want to call it, like was traditionally done in a religious form. Like with the new, I won't say woke thing, but with the new modern trends now, it's not necessarily a religious gathering, it's just baccalaureate Sunday. You may not believe this, but 57 years ago, June, I graduated from high school. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I feel like a day over 57. And I remember baccalaureate Sunday at the church over in Milan. And we had our cap and gowns, and we probably had 8 or 10 kids there. Because Diane's been involved with doing the baccalaureate thing with the gifts and everything forever. And we always had a pretty large group of kids. And it's changed over time, but we can still do that today. It's kind of a farewell message, a farewell time for us to honor and to recognize, as Reggie's already talked about, the kids who are going on, have graduated from something, and are going on to something else. And everyone sitting in this room right now is, as I speak, we're graduating from something into something else, right? We're always in transition. I gotta shut that fan off. No matter what you're doing, retirement, moving, selling a home, having kids or grandkids, or, we're always in transition. So you graduates are into a transitional thing, but everyone in this room is also doing that. So we're recognizing you kids. I'm going to say kids because you are kids. And I remember Eric, I'll never forget this till the day I die. I went to some kind of little concert. I think it was a Christmas concert or something. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then it was at the Baptist church. And Eric,
he was
and like we didn't know that he was. But there was this little boy sitting up front singing. And he just was smiling and singing away, and I'm thinking, who is that little kid? There's no little kids like that anymore. Well, that was Eric. And he's gone from that to that. And it's just an amazing journey. And also, I'm going to embarrass him too. He worked for me for a number of years. And it's not often that kids will call you and say, what time do you want me there? Now, he's like, I'm talking like a teenager, and he was like 11 maybe. He'd call me. He'd bike over. We'd whack. He learned to run some equipment. He was just so responsible, even as a young boy. And then, of course, I remember Haley when she was barely walking. And here you are, Haley, graduating and getting into the field. And I don't know Haley, but I talked to her this morning. And again, she's so excited about being in the healthcare field and working with people and helping people. That's totally awesome. I want to challenge them and each of us as I bring this message to work through this transitional stage, always focusing on Him. It's not about us, it's not about our credentials, it's not about certificates or diplomas or whatever. It's about our faith and our walk with Him. And allow the Holy Spirit to guide us through everything that's going through. It kind of makes me think of when we dedicate a baby, and you got this little baby who's kind of helpless, and we're dedicating that baby to the Lord, responsibility falls on us to lead that child, you know, into the faith, to guide them, to pray for them. And as we get older, it's the same thing. I can remember when I was in the service, I used to get letters from the women in the church. I'm in somewhere in the middle of North Africa, or in the Mediterranean or whatever, and I get letters from the women in the church, and I still have them, and that meant so much to me. So we don't necessarily have to write letters, but if you do, if that's one of your gifts, do it. But be praying for these kids as they grow up. That's a tough world right there. And when they go from a spiritual place here into the world, you have to be especially girded up to be able to fight off the schemes of the enemy or whatever. So we do have a responsibility to support these kids, not just clapping for them, but praying for them and being there for them if they need us. So I have some questions that I want to ask each one of you. That goes kind of beyond what your plans and what your goals are. Like, what are your plans and what are your goals? Maybe you didn't graduate from high school or college, but what are your plans and what are your goals? How did you come to that decision? That's another good question to ask. Is it a calling on your life? A decision based on a dream you have? Or is it just something you want to do? Is it something you're comfortable with? And I'll give a little testimony in a minute about that. But, or are you doing it because your best buddy's doing it? And I've seen that happen. Or maybe you join the military together. That's what you both want to do. Or you both go to this college or whatever the case may be. It's kind of interesting that I had a high school classmate of mine who, he and I went to boot camp together. Now, we didn't plan that. I didn't even know he joined. So I show up at the federal building at 4:30 to 4:30 a.m. to go have my physical and take my oath for the Navy. And there's Richard LaFlemme. And so he and I went to boot camp together. Well, he died yesterday. Like, it's just kind of coincidental how things happen. I mean, I happened to look at the obituaries and there's Richard. So we went through 12 weeks of boot camp together. And I didn't go to boot camp in the Navy because he did. It just happened when we were together. But Robert Barron is a bishop out of Minnesota. He gave a speech at the Hillsdale College. I don't know if you're familiar with the Hillsdale College, but that's the only college pretty much in the United States that does not take federal money. So guess what they can do? They can do what the Lord wants to do and they're not hindered. So Hillsdale College is quite the college. But anyway, so he gave a speech at graduation last June, and he asked some very important and some very deep questions, vital questions, I guess you could say, that I'm going to share with you now. And again, it's not directed at you four. It's directed at all of us, including myself. And everything that I'm going to ask and everything that we do in life is based on decisions, choices. We have to make choices. And not just future plans, but questions that will affect us day by day, minute by minute. So question number one, what kind of a soul or what kind of a heart do you have and will you have from this day forward? Number two, what kind of person are you and what type will you be in the future? When you look back, if you graduated from high school, like I look back 57 years ago and I go, I'm a little bit different now than I was then. Just a little bit. Not just physically, but spiritually and all the things you go through in life. Number three, will you do whatever, good or bad, it takes to achieve your dreams and what you want? Whatever you do, are you going to do it no matter how you do it to get what you want, good or bad? Are you going to make a But if you can take this road, which might be a little bit unethical to get where you want to go, are you going to go there? Or are you going to do the right thing? Will you accept suffering? Will you accept challenges in order to follow the truth of God's word and do what's right? I went through a period of time in my life back in the late 60s, early 70s, where I didn't do that. I suffered not because of making good choices, but I suffered because I made some wrong choices. Can anyone identify with that? You can suffer for the Lord, and you can also suffer for your own mistakes. I'd rather suffer for Him. Will you be able to endure the slings of arrows of injustice thrown at you and suffer wrongdoing, or be unrighteous, unjust, and be wrong to save yourself trouble? Will you be able to endure rumors and gossip and attacks on you for your faith, or are you going to switch that around so you don't have to deal with that? Whom and what will you worship? The one true God, or a false God, and all kinds of different idols? Who are you going to follow? Barron goes on to say, everything else in your life will fall from your answers to these questions. Everything else will flow from your life, the answers to these questions. And, you know, oftentimes I think about that and going like, yeah, you know, kind of reminds me of my little 4-year-old granddaughter. Now they have, I'm not in favor of this, but I understand that it is. They had pre-K graduation. They had caps and gowns, and they were talking at the thing, and I'm like, well, which way do you put the tassel? I'm like, they're four. But anyway, they gave awards. Everyone got an award. And it was pretty interesting. It brought a tear to my eye. She got an award for being the best role model in her class. Now, some of you know her from her being here. But to me, those kind of awards, I'm not saying the math award isn't good, but those kind of awards, that's going to benefit you down the road. You can be a great role. Well, she was a great role model for her teachers and her classmates. And she's smiling and she's talking to everybody and hugging everybody. So that's probably going to carry her a long ways down the road, unless the enemy gets a hold, which we pray never happens. And to quickly just share a little teeny-weeny bit about my testimony, my graduation story. And I had six paragraphs, and I decided to condense it to this. Someday I'll tell you the whole story. So let's just say that I had a plan. Now, I grew up on a farm, and I liked working in the woods. Brown Company was flourishing at the time. The woods department was crazy. There was all kinds of stuff going on. You know, wood was flowing down the Androscoggin. The mill was in full force. And so I wanted to get a degree in forest technology. That was my goal. I didn't do it because anybody else wanted to do it. That's what I wanted to do. I was comfortable with that. I liked running equipment. I liked running chainsaws. I liked working in the woods. So I went to UNH and I got a degree in forest technology. And what we did is every day we were in the woods, we're running skidders, we're running chainsaws, we're cutting lumber, we're doing all kinds of stuff. That's what I like, hands-on stuff. I didn't have to spend 8 hours a day in the classroom. But then I got a draft notice a couple weeks before I graduated from college. So I joined the Navy before the Army got me. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but when I look back, it's probably a good thing. So I went from planning on going out west to being a forest ranger out somewhere in Montana or Wyoming, so that was my plan, to going to boot camp. That was not part of my plan. From there, long story short, as I said, I'm going to condense it. Had a couple of major surgeries from some kidney issues I had, and that changed the plans that I had, even in the Navy. I wanted to do this. They sent me here. I had the kidney problems, and they sent me there. Anyway, long story short again, I ended up as a personnelman, which is like a mail clerk. It's far cry from running equipment for the seniors. But I had my plans, God had his plans. The lifespan of a heavy equipment operator in Vietnam was like 15 minutes. So I didn't go there. But anyway, while I'm in the hospital in Germany, and I was stationed in Africa and had this problem, I was supposed to go to Spain and have surgery, but the doctor in Spain was on leave, so they sent me to Germany. So they medevaced me to Germany. So while I'm in the hospital there, I'm sitting in the hospital room and I'm overlooking this playing field. There's a touch football game going on over there, there's frisbee here, somebody's doing something over there, kids are jumping rope, whatever. And I wasn't really in tune with the Lord at that time. I knew we had control of my life as much as I would allow him to, I guess, but he spoke to me and he said, now remember, I'm a forest technician. I got a degree in forest technology. He said, I want you to go back to college when you get out of the service, become a teacher, a PE teacher, and a coach. And I'm like, that's not what I want to do. I mean, school was fine, but I didn't like spending time in the classroom. I procrastinated on schoolwork and all that stuff. But anyway, so for the next year and a half, that's what I did. I started planning where I was going to go, what I was going to major in, the whole thing. And then I ended up as a PE teacher. So I went from forest technology, working in the woods, away from people, to teaching PE for 33 years. And somebody who had me as students.
Actually, most of us, I think, had used to.
I think
most of you have had
used to. Yeah, right. So, I had my plans. God had his plans. And no matter what you do, I mean, I made choices, but he also made me make some choices. When I finally gave my life to him, and even then, during the PE times, I really wasn't focused on it. But anyway, so my boy Eric and Kaylee and Haley is
Cora,
I forgot you. I'm sorry. You have your plans, and I'm sure God's going to work through those plans. But He might also take you in some other different directions. Just be prepared. So with all that being said. The Bible, and it's crazy because when you start looking up stuff about things like this, you go, well, this fits in really good, and that fits in really good. Maybe I should just say, start in Genesis and work it in Revelation, because there's something in there that's going to tell you how to live your life no matter what you're doing and what direction you're going in terms of your career. How many people in this group had a career plan when you were younger that changed? Okay. It happens, right? But and I'm only going to quote a few scriptures because we don't have time to do it all, not today, because we can do it all. I intentionally today did not look at the devotion for the morning because I didn't want to add anything. I knew God was going to put something in there. But Vicki did it and Reggie did it. And we didn't talk, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So let's start with the Ten Commandments from Exodus. You have only one God, and I got this from Whitney. She sent me like a farmer's Ten Commandments. You have only one God. Worship only Him. Respect His name. Go to church on Sunday. Honor your mom and pop. Do not kill anyone. Adultery is forbidden. You must not steal. Please don't tell any lies and just be content with what you have. So you could take those 10 and say, okay, that's how I'm going to live my life. And we could stop right there. But then let's throw the armor of God in there. And this is from the Message. And you know how the Message can be. Says, the battle of life you are in is no afternoon athletic contest that you walk away from and forget about those couple rallies. True? This is for keeps. Be prepared. Boy Scout Mono, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon that God has issued so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which are more than just words. Learn how to apply them as you need them throughout your life. So the Ten Commandments, the armor of God, a couple of things you should probably hold on to, you young people and you old people. Let's go to Galatians 5, through the Spirit. 22 and 23, although 16 through 21 talks about what you shouldn't know that will cause you all sorts of trouble. You know, you always have the scripture, oh, do this and everything's going to be fine. But if you don't, this is going to happen. Well, this one, you put it first. Mm-hmm. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're going to have lots of trouble. So then it says, what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way the fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. It's kind of a different take on Galatians. Thomas Aquinas, who's an Italian friar and priest, said, now this is pretty intense. He said, love what Christ loved on the cross and despise what he despised. Financial success? On the cross, Christ was utterly poor, stripped naked. Strength and power? When he was nailed to that cross, that secured him completely. He couldn't move. Honor and respect, we all want that, right? On the cross, he was scorned and ridiculed. Are we willing to sacrifice in this life as Christ did if we are called upon to do so? Are we willing to sacrifice in this life as Christ did? Maybe not on the cross, but at least sacrifice for him if we're called to do so. Jesus said no to compromise. Can we say no to compromise? He said no to idols, but he said yes to doing the will of God, even through death on the cross. Are we willing to seek to please God and the friends of God, or do we want to seek to please the world? And then when we make choices, little by little, every little choice that we make, whether they're life-changing, like, you know, what Eric and Cora and Kaylee and Haley are going to do. Over time, regarding ethics, we're making choices that have definite consequences, good or bad, and are basically determining the type of person, character that we're becoming. As you make those choices, it's going to determine what type of person you really are. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, even the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. So we may think we're pretty smart, but we're not as nearly as smart as God is. We're not as smart as the foolishness of God, if you can think about what God is. So even the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than any human strength. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9 says, I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. And I can remember, for those of you in this group who've been to boot camp, I can remember going to boot camp thinking, I'm going to die here. I'm not going to make it out of here. The newness of it all, and the people, you know, 75 guys that we never even knew except one. I knew one, and that was Rick. You don't know these people. You're going from, I can remember going from, which you didn't sleep the night before, right? You get on a bus, you go to Portland, you fly from Portland to Boston, you fly from Boston to Chicago, you get on a bus, and from then on it's 12 weeks of people screaming at you. You haven't had anything to eat for 24 hours. I mean, there's more stories that we could all tell. I mean, this is just as an 18-year-old guy, right? I'm thinking, I'm never going to get out of here. But the Lord got us all, you know? Anybody identifying with that? Just
think. He's 30 when you do that.
For those we are recognizing today, and for all of us, when we walk out those doors, John talked about it, Rachel talked about it, David talked about it, Matt talked about it, and I talked about it. And we walk out into the future, because when you walk out the door, you're walking out into the future. How have you been, and how will you answer those earlier questions? Will we understand and surrender to God's will? Well, number one, not just understand it, but know what it is. His word, his promises, and become who he and he alone wants us to be. Or are we going to be our own person, our own thing, and do our own thing? Philippians 4, 8, and 9, brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and receive from me what I told you and what you saw me do. And the God who gives you peace will be with you. He'll be with you for no matter what you're going to do, no matter what the future is. He'll be with all of us. Jonathan Kahn, I almost brought it today. I forgot to. I was going to bring it. Stuffed teddy bear. But he told the story when he was younger. He was like a teenager. He you go to the fair and they have all these games and stuff, and you can win teddy bears and stuff. And he wanted to win this teddy bear for his mother. And he spent $35 before he won the teddy bear. And shooting baskets, and they say, you know, it's great and whatever. But so anyway, he spent $35 on a 50-cent bear, even though people tried to tell him to waste any money. He did get the bear in the end. So he had a challenge. He always has a challenge. Is there something we're striving for, something we're fighting for, something we're even sacrificing for that isn't in God's will, plan, and promises? Are we going in the right direction? Sometimes striving for a specific victory could bring defeat. We need to make sure we're striving for the right thing. So to finish up, I just want to say we all have a calling in our lives, no matter what age you're at. And I believe the 3 people that are going into the medical field, that is a calling. You don't get into the medical field because you like dealing with people's troubles. You don't get into teaching if you don't like people. I went to a conference one time, we were talking about why did you get, I actually led the conference, which I never wanted to do because I don't like talking to my colleagues. I said, why did you get into this field and what are you doing with it? And people said, well, I like sports, or I like having summer vacation. You're getting into something because of that, and then for the wrong reasons. You've got to be called into people, businesses, or whatever. If you're an engineer and that's your calling, go for it. I'm not a science math guy, but we have people in this group who are, and that's good. That's your calling. But we all have a calling on our lives, choices to make, journeys to go on, and plans to accomplish. If you are in Christ and he is in you, Colossians 2, 6, and 7 fits in perfect. It says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, continue to live your life in him, rooted, and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then, I don't know why I picked this, and I don't know why Vicki picked it, and I don't know why Reggie picked it, but Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans that he has for us. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You young people, you have a hope and a future. Us older folks, we have a hope and a future. Use your God-given abilities. He's granted us with all kinds of different abilities. And that's what I love about this body of people. Is people just, they use their gifting, whatever it is they're going to do, whether they're doing wood for people, or people are working in the kitchen, or people are out praying for people, or people are assisting people. That's what he's called us to do. So use your abilities, God-given abilities, talents, and calling to make a difference in this world. What God can do, what he does do, and what he has been doing through the Holy Spirit is done through us. He doesn't just snap his fingers and it happens. He does it through his people. There is no limit as to what he can do in and through us. But we have to let him do that. Doing it on our own only ends up with trouble. So remember, congratulations to you young people. Congratulations to you older people and you younger people. For all your accomplishments thus far, and later this morning, when you go out that door and begin a new phase in your life, who's going to be in charge? You or the Lord? And I'd like to close with this song. Oh, one more thing. I asked permission, and I got this from a valedictorian back there. You never know, huh? I mean, sometimes valedictorians are different, but I mean he's different, but he's like a regular guy. He's a valedictorian. So this is the end of his speech that he gave at graduation. So as you leave today to join the workforce and continue your education, remember the people that helped you get there and lean on them for support. That's us. Thank you. Thank them for everything they've done already and continue to lean on them for support and guidance. Be careful not to misuse them as a crutch, though through troubles or to advance yourself through nepotism. As in this big world, people might not know who your family is or how impressive of an athlete you were back in your glory days, but they will know your work ethic and they'll know the values that you hold. Thank you. I'll say this anyway, Eric. Thank you for listening to my rant and good luck in the rest of your journey as it's only just begun. That's cool. And John played this song a couple of times when we were part of the worship.